there's no place like home for the holidays. And no matter how far away you roam, if you pine for the sunshine of a friendly gaze, for the holidays you can.
Welcome back to Horror for the Holidays, a Christmas horror movie podcast. I'm Jay Logsdon.
And I'm Jeff Searcy.
Happy birthday, Jeff. This is start of year four.
Yes, it is indeed. And boy, did we pick a great movie to start the year off with, Jay.
Or to end the previous year? I don't know.
Normally, our episode that comes out for Christmas in July would be the start of the new season.
All right. Well... we picked a great episode to start. We're great.
Season 5, episode 1, Werewolf Santa.
It's been one hell of a year. We'll do our normal thing towards the end of the episode and talk about our favorite and least favorite and surprise movie of the year.
yes, indeed we shall.
After Fat Boy Summer and
we're back
and 4th of July, we're back to Christmas movies for a little while before the spooktacular starts.
It's looming out there. Do you hear it?
It's slowly approaching.
Oh no.
The spooktacular gets earlier and earlier every year.
Yeah,
there, that's the thing that like my mom used to complain about when like Christmas decorations were out like the first week of November. Now they're in stores in October.
Hobby Lobby already has Christmas decorations. Yep. Jay.
And it's one of those things where it's like, okay, like, yeah, you're right. It does get earlier and earlier every year. And so,
let's get realistic. The only two marketable holidays we have left are Halloween and Christmas.
Yep.
Nobody gives a shit about any of the other ones.
Valentine's Day is somewhat holding its own.
Honestly, I think that's mostly supported by the fact that they still do Valentine's Day in school for some reason.
Ah, Valentine's Day. Oh, my bloody Valentine. No. Let's deck the halls as we talk about 2023's Werewolf Santa.
More like, let's dog the halls.
Oh, we're dogging.
We're dogging out here, mate.
Released August 25th, 2023. Boo.
Yeah, not what you want to see. I mean, July 25th would have worked. They could get out a month earlier.
Yeah, put it out for Christmas in July and make that part of your marketing or whatever.
Fright Fest is when Fright Fest is, and I'm assuming they wanted to get it in there. So, I mean, that was when Fright Fest was. So, got to do what you got to do, I guess.
Written and directed by, oh boy, I've been dreading having to pronounce this person's name.
Ariel
Anthony Hales.
Yep.
And we will be seeing more from him for Advent 2024, Santa Phobia, which is in pre-production, Vampire Santa, which is in pre-production, and Zombie Santa, which is also in pre-production.
Yes. Oh. Better Blu-ray release, though, Jay. November 26th, 2024. Oh. Blu-ray release for the U.S.
And that's the one I believe I have. So, oh, we'll talk about this Blu-ray at some point.
You know what the tagline is, Jay?
Season's Eatings.
Yes.
Catherine Rodden plays Lucy, our lead. Mark Arnold plays her dad, Charlie. And I assume... part of the joke about this movie and his issues with werewolves is that he most famous for guys like you and me, played Mick in Teen Wolf.
Teen Wolf, yep. Dealing with another Teen Wolf.
Yep. Emily Booth plays her mom, Carol, and we will see her again in Santa Phobia. Cian Lorkin is Rupert, and he is Charlie in Advent, so we'll see him again in that. Charlie Preston is Dustin. And most importantly, star of the movie, Joe Bob Briggs, provides the narration at the somewhat beginning of the movie.
He does indeed.
Alternate title, which you and I were talking about off the air.
Frostbite.
A much better name.
God, if they had done... See, this would have blown up, I bet, and they would have got a lot of support if it had been Frostbite to start off with.
Like, Is Werewolf Santa very on the nose? Yes. You know what you're getting when you title your movie Werewolf Santa. But man, Frostbite's a great name.
Honestly, I think though Frostbite would have helped them out because yes, it's still a great title and descriptive. But by labeling your movie Werewolf Santa and then not having that much Werewolf Santa in it, Jay, you run into some issues.
And you're also going to get people who are going to be like, I'm not going to watch a dumb movie called Werewolf Santa. Like,
it also does turn... See, that you get the double negative because, yes, some people won't watch it because it's called that, and some people will be expecting something you can't deliver because it is called that.
Yep.
So, it's rough either way.
But you and I were talking. We're secretly hoping that Vampire Santa and Zombie Santa... I watched the trailer for Advent. And I guess Santa Phobia. I've not seen the trailer, but we're also hoping maybe for Santa Phobia as well. The trailer for Advent looked strangely similar to this movie, like had the same vibe. And I'm like wondering, what if Vampire Santa is literally shot for shot the same movie, but it's a vampire instead of a werewolf? What if Zombie Santa is shot for shot the same movie, but it's zombies?
See, that would elevate this movie to art. Art, Jay.
Like, not acknowledge it, literally just make the exact same movie, but just swap out what the monster is. Yes. I would love it. I would watch them all, like, back to back to back.
That would be a bold decision, for sure.
Personal experience. I think, Jeff, you had heard about a movie called Werewolf Santa.
I heard about it because Joe Bob was going to be in it. And then we kept hearing about it, and it was never available, and it was never available, and then finally it appeared.
Had kind of a mean one, where mean one like came out and then immediately disappeared.
And then we were finally able to fit it into our busy, busy schedule.
And yeah, where to watch? You can buy a Blu-ray copy on Amazon, watch it out for free on Tubi.
Free on Tubi. It's also free on YouTube, on the official YouTube channel, and free on Fandango. And you can also buy, I think it. You could buy it HD on there for $4.99. So,
I don't know. It might be worth it. You decide, listener.
It's up to you, listener.
Anything else, or are you ready to dive into the synopsis?
Let's get started.
All right. We get yellow comic-style text box on the screen.
Like it.
That tells us in 1797 in Hastings, Sussex, there were all sorts of pirates and smugglers and werewolves.
Cave wolves. You know what, Jane? These caves are lousy with fucking werewolves.
We get a new text box that says, Summer 2016. Lucy, our main character, is in Oregon for her YouTube show Monster Hunters, looking for Bigfoot, but doesn't find him and mentions that she used her student loans to pay to go to Oregon.
I was actually in another location at the time. I'm sorry.
Summer 2017. Now she's in Loch Ness and is once again disappointed that there are no monsters for Monster Hunters.
Well, that's because the Loch Ness monster at that time was still harassing Chef's parents.
About 350. 350.
350.
Christmas Eve 2018. Hastings. We see a chimney with stockings and a Christmas tree, and then Santa comes down the chimney and starts growling as we see a hand that emerges from the chimney, and it's hairy and a claw-like. Title card.
And it wasn't just me. It was actually a werewolf Santa this time.
Joe Bob Briggs introduces Werewolf Santa. We get a comic-style animated story that plays as Joe Bob reads, "'Twas the Night Before Christmas," and at one point when its head was wreathed in smoke, or something, I forget the exact line. You'd think I would know all the words, but it's very clearly Joe Bob and Santa smoking pot together.
Yes.
But Joe Bob finishes 'Twas the Night Before Christmas, and then says... And then, well, things went completely fucking batshit crazy. And you know what I mean. And if you know what I mean, and I think you do.
Yes, we do.
And then Joe Bob finishes off with, be careful what you wish for.
Yes, indeed. I was destroyed by the monkey's paw of this movie. I know. To be careful what you wish for.
Early Christmas Eve, 2018. Lucy and Dustin are driving to Lucy's family home for the holidays. It's 2:43 p.m. and Lucy and Dustin are pulling into Hastings, and immediately Stan, a homeless man, comes up and starts squeegeeing their window. And Dustin yells at him, but Lucy calls him by name and gives him money to go buy meth with.
I mean, that's good. I like that.
Lucy argues with Dustin about Christmas music and how much she hates Christmas. Dustin asks if they can pull over and fuck. They then loudly headbang to some rock music, and then later on, they argue about Dustin sleeping with Lucy's best friend.
Well, we're not exclusive.
At 3:55 p.m., they arrive at Lucy's mom's house. Lucy didn't tell Carol, her mom, that she was bringing Dustin, or that she had dropped out of college, or that she had gotten fired from her job.
Yeah, yeah.
After sitting in silence for a while, there is a knock at the door, and it's Lucy's dad, Charlie, arriving. Also, it is briefly mentioned that Lucy was an excellent shot back in the day when they used to go to the fun fair.
Mm-hmm.
We'll pick that up later.
Hmm.
Carol and Charlie argue about Charlie's drinking and womanizing, and also, importantly, how forgetful he is.
He's very forgetful. He's all over Tinder.
And he's always working nights.
Uh-huh.
He loves steak.
He looks really haggard and tired, you know.
Nothing to read in. I'm Jeff, he's the police constable. He's probably just busy working the night
shift. Oh, yeah, you know, famously, UK constables are overworked, Jay.
4:22 p.m., we get a shot of some Christmas decorations.
Yep.
4:40 p.m., Lucy and Dustin are outside arguing when they hear someone scream. A man runs out of the woods covered in blood and collapses in front of them as Lucy and Dustin start to walk into the woods.
Covered in ketchup or something.
Also, I guess I should have said this at the top. This is somewhat found. I guess not somewhat. This is found footage style.
It's fucking found footage. And you know what I said when I saw that it was found footage? Damn you, movie. You know what? I can appreciate a found... I'm not one of those people who's just like, I will never watch anything found footage. But found footage definitely... It lowers the quality of a product to me.
That's the thing. There are... you know, you and I have said, like, we enjoy, like, more the lost media style of found footage. Yes. WNUF.
Yes. Like, see...
Late Night with the Devil.
If they'd done something like that, yeah, like, this is a recovered recording or whatever of what happened.
But it's the... Yeah, it's just the, like... shaky camera and, yes. And all the,
especially when I'm trying to watch people out there dogging Jay, I don't need the camera all fucking shaking. Okay,
hey, stop recording this. No, don't stop recording this.
Don't stop. We like it, mate.
5:01 p.m. We hear police sirens and Dustin says, I'd rather not break into the police station. 5:35 p.m. They break into the police station, and Lucy tells us that Charlie is the chief constable, and Lucy says the official story is that the guy was just mauled by a dog. In Charlie's office, they find information about werewolves and silver bullets.
Yes.
And they leave.
You know, what you would find in a normal police constable's office, you know, in the modern world, Jay, a werewolf paraphernalia and, you know, oh yeah, I take werewolves seriously enough to keep silver bullets around.
There's no werewolves, but I keep all this information about werewolves. Mm-hmm. Stop asking about the werewolves.
And I'll note for the audience, I kind of sympathize with Dustin and our later character that hasn't been introduced yet.
Rupert.
And then that they're both blackmailed for being perverts by a woman. It's happened to me too.
6:02 p.m. They are back in the woods, and Lucy insists that when she was a kid, she saw a werewolf. 6:17 p.m.
6:07.
Hey. In a clearing in the woods, they stumble across Santa taking a piss. Santa goes back towards his sleigh and immediately gets mauled by a werewolf that just comes out of nowhere.
My favorite part is he's literally just walking back. Yes, no warning. He's like, "Hey, what's that?" Ah!
6:20 p.m. Santa's guts are hanging out.
Oof.
And Lucy wants to rush him to the hospital. When Lucy asks if he's in pain, and he says, "No pain, no pain at all," and then screams, the camera cuts away, and when it comes back, Santa is a werewolf.
You see, the way that they did the dialogue and sexual stuff in this movie, Santa should have just turned to her and been like, "Werewolf was all up in my guts."
Lucy and Dustin argue about what to do, and eventually decide to go
Lucy decides. Yeah, Lucy decides blackmailed into helping her.
Lucy decides to go chase down Santa, and because she threatens to release the sex tape that she and Dustin made that features that Lucy dressed as Dustin's mom.
Yeah. You know, weird sex tapes, weird donut related incidents. I can relate to all these things.
Jeff, it wasn't a jelly filled donut. It was cream filled.
I bet it was.
7:05 PM back at the police station. All of the cops are missing.
Uh oh.
7:32 PM Lucy is at Carol's and finds an ice skate.
To be fair, that would be more intimidating if it was in the United States. What, are the two constables missing?
I think there was one. Yeah, there's one guy like out front. That was it. Lucy finds a singular ice skate with a silver blade.
Yes.
They tell Carol that they have to go kill Santa because he's a werewolf, and they need her to drive them because Lucy's car got impounded because she was too high.
Yep. This tracks, Jay. This tracks.
They stop and grab Lucy's best childhood friend, a weird guy named Rupert.
Now, Jay, let's not throw around accusations like weird out of nowhere, okay?
Just because he fucked that donut.
He's perfectly fine, okay?
But she goes to get Rupert because he's the only one who knows more about monsters than she does.
Yes.
8:05 PM, we get the scene from the beginning of the movie of Werewolf Santa coming down the chimney.
We're caught up. Although I'm glad they didn't do the thing where some of these movies are like the present title card.
And Werewolf Santa sees the video tape recording and pushes it over and runs away because he hasn't developed his killer instinct yet.
Yes, but somehow that means he has to flee from them, and he also doesn't want to be recorded. Don't ask questions, Jay. It's Werewolf Santa.
8:21 PM, they are listening to a news report about Werewolf Santa eating a child's heart. Looks like he got his killer appetite back, or his killer instinct back. They run into Charlie, who tells them to go home. The police have it covered. Rupert said, this is just a cover-up, just like the UFO under the town's chip shop. Charlie then gets radioed that no backup is coming, so he agrees to go with everyone else.
I also want to point out that Dustin is clearly jealous of this new man in Lucy's life, and so he's making constant digs at him while they're in the car.
And then when Dustin leaves, like, Rupert's crying, and he's like, he was a great bloke.
Yep. He was indeed.
8:35 PM, they are back in the woods. Charlie admits that he forgot his gun, but if they can find a dead police officer, they can just take his gun. 8:45 PM, Rupert hears sex noises.
Right, dogging.
8:52 PM, following the sex noises, they find two couples out dogging.
We're dogging. Which is a real thing, by the way, in the UK.
That's what they call it. It's why...
It's swingers who like to swing outside.
I believe Nick Jackson of the Young Bucks Jey Uso of the Usos has started doing yeet as like his catchphrase in WWE, and it's like yeet ceased to be a thing, like, you know, that was a thing like years ago. It's not really a thing now, but it's his catchphrase. So I believe Nick Jackson also decided to take like a meme thing, and so his catchphrase is now what the dog doing.
Yep. What the dog doing?
What the dog doing?
Yep.
And so then someone's like, I can't wait till Allin and Wembley when Nick Jackson wins the AEW world title off of the success of his new catchphrase, what the dog doing?
Mm-hmm.
And someone put, yeah, we're all going to be dogging in the audience.
Yep.
And then somebody went, this is England. You need to rethink how you're going to phrase that.
Or not.
The whole audience is just greatest, dogging along.
Greatest pay-per-view of all time. Shout out to the Guys podcast with Brian Quimby and Chris James for educating me on dogging on the Sex Guys episode.
One of the guys in the couple recognizes Carol and is upset because she told him she wouldn't be dogging this week.
Oh man.
Lucy tries to get them to stop having sex, but they refuse, and then Werewolf Santa shows up.
Listen, Lucy, what you gotta understand is we only get the dog, like, you know, once a month, so we gotta make the most of this.
I also enjoyed, it's like two cars, there's a couple on top of the car, and then there's this other couple at the front of the car, and then one of the cars is just wrapped in Christmas lights as they're out there listening to techno music with Christmas lights while they're dogging.
Yes, we're dogging.
We then see the bodies of the doggers, as Santa has, murdered them. My favorite one is that Santa has decapitated one of the guys and then put his head between one of the girl's thighs.
Yes.
I thought that was very, very reanimator.
Doggin.
A head giving in a head position.
Of course. Gave her a head.
Kind of like in, same movie in a lot of ways, Castle Freak, where Reanimator has a head giving head. Giorgio, the titular Castle Freak, I believe, actually eats a woman out.
Yes.
He actually eats her while eating her out.
Yes, he does.
Funny jokes. 9:20 p.m. Dustin runs off because he's had enough of this.
I've had enough of this, mate. I can't take it no more.
And this where Rupert like starts to cry, and Lucy's like, "Why are you crying?" He's like, "He was a great bloke."
Yep.
Even though literally the whole time Dustin was just talking shit about him. 9:56 p.m., they find Dustin's dead body and are back at Santa's sleigh.
No one's that bothered.
Where all the reindeer have been eaten. A werewolf then howls, and they go and they cover themselves in Dustin's entrails and lay down pretending to be dead. So Werewolf Santa will leave them alone.
Of course.
10:40 p.m., they spy Santa at his sleigh trying to fly it, but he can't because he ate all the reindeer. They then find a dead policeman with 3 bullets left in his gun. Charlie is going to kill Santa, but he can't because he forgot his glasses. So Lucy is going to have to do it because, remember, she's a crack shot at the fun fair.
I do remember that. That's called foreshadowing, Jay.
Lucy approaches but can't bring herself to do it because it's Santa. So Carol says she'll do it, and they fight over the gun, causing it to discharge, wasting one of their 3 bullets.
Oh,
they only have 2 bullets left.
And the price of silver these days? Come on.
And Santa has fled towards the church bells in town because everyone is going to Christmas Eve service.
It's a bloody feast for him. That's what that is.
11:18 p.m., they're driving through town. Stan, the homeless man from earlier, pops up to squeegee their windshield, only to get attacked by Werewolf Santa on the roof of Carol's car.
I just thought it was hilarious. He's still out there doing it in the dark.
Oh, she gave you money to buy meth with, dude. Go,
go enjoy
the good stuff.
Enjoy your Christmas.
Santa attacks a fam. Santa runs off. And then Lucy chases after him, and Santa attacks a family and then runs into a haunted house that just so happens to be open at 11:18 p.m. on Christmas Eve.
It's actually owned by Jay Logsdon.
I believe they call it, it's a ghost train. It's like a dark ride is kind of what it is. But yeah, I mean, fuck, I'd go to a haunted house on Christmas Eve. It sounds like a great time. They walk through the haunted house. Setting off all of the animatronics and whatnot.
That was pretty funny.
All the lights are on. Like, that's the thing. I think someone would say, well, it's not, you know, it's not open. There's no one out there running the ride, except that all the lights are on. The black lights are on. But they walk through, they're setting off all the things. They run into Santa, who then chases them through more of the haunted house. At 11:40 p.m., they are able to get away from Santa, but are trapped at a door that they can't push open.
Yes.
So they starts to come to grips with his mortality. And then Lucy's like, we're not going to die. Everything's going to be fine. And Rupert goes, well, then Lucy, if we get out of this, can we fuck? And she says no. And then he asks if she has any friends.
No.
And she tells him no again, and that he might as well just turn gay. So then he asks if she knows any guys.
No.
And then it turns out that the doors that wouldn't open weren't push doors, but pull doors.
Of course. The classic.
The classic pull doors, not push doors. It's not one of those doors like an I Think You Should Leave that goes both ways. and they go to leave through the door just for Santa to pop out and bite Lucy on the arm.
Oh, no.
They get back to Carol's car, and Carol, instead of being worried about her daughter getting bitten by a werewolf and possibly turning into a werewolf, is mad that they're going to get blood on the seats.
I mean, come on. That's a nice car.
Lucy says they've got to go back so they can end it. At midnight, Charlie proposes to Carol again.
Yes.
At 12:25 a.m., I assume at the church, because there are Bibles on the ground.
Yes.
Santa is inside part of the Christmas display. Lucy says to use the bullet on her because she feels the change coming. Charlie then admits that years ago he went on a werewolf hunting spree, but the alpha werewolf put up a fight and eventually got put down, but he got bit in the process. So now Charlie's the alpha werewolf.
Yep, yep.
He's who bit Santa, and if they kill him, Santa and Lucy will turn back. But once again, if he killed the alpha, why did he ever turn?
And see, that's the thing is, even if you want to say, oh, the alpha passed the curse on to him and made him the new alpha, they lay out in the movie that the alpha can transform at will. He's the only one who can control his transformations. So why would he kill Santa?
Right.
Especially since he already ate that other guy.
Oh, I think there is a line that he ate one of Lucy's weed cookies, so it like made him rampage or whatever. I think a throwaway line.
I thought
about
that was the explanation for Santa killing everybody. Oh,
maybe it is.
People.
Oh,
because that was my question: is why is Santa killing everybody and not turning people into more werewolves? So I think that's why they put that in there.
Oh, that's a fair point. Then, yeah, I have no idea, Jeff.
Yeah, this is apparently, because he's like, yeah, it's Santa. He gave me his black eye and wanted to put up a fight. And I was like, why'd you kill him in the first place?
Lucy doesn't want to kill her dad, but he cajoles her into doing it by threatening to eat Carol's heart out. She shoots her dad. Santa is now back to normal and asks if the reindeer are okay. We then get a text box on the screen telling us that the reindeer are, in fact, not okay because Santa is currently digesting them, as Here Comes Santa Claus plays in the background.
Very funny moment from when he recounts his story of killing all the werewolves was when they're like, yeah, you could have just killed the alpha and they all would have went back to normal. It's like, well, that's good to know. He's murdered all those people for no reason.
What?
Oops.
Text box says, 1 year later, Lucy is recapping what has happened. They hear sleigh bells, and then outside of the window, there are pulsing lights and weird noises as we hear Rupert tells us that Santa got tractor beamed up into the UFO, and then Rupert turns towards the camera and said, I told you there were aliens. Credits roll, also, end of movie.
Also, best joke of the movie for me, and should be for you as well, Jay, as people who have a current YouTube channel. She posts actual proof of Santa being real, actual proof of werewolves being real, and she gains 100 subscribers.
Yep.
I thought that was great.
It's tough out here.
What, proof of the supernatural and Santa Claus all at once? Yeah, 100 subscribers.
100 people. Yeah, we gotta know what Mr. Beast is up to.
Yes. End of movie.
Or watch reaction video.
Yes.
A more popular streamer reacting to your footage of Santa and werewolves being real. What? Any thoughts before we do our categories, Jeff?
No, let's get into it, because we got a lot to talk about with this one.
All right, where do you want to start?
Christmas spirit. Let's talk about it.
How Christmassy is the movie? How Christmassy are the kills?
The kills are pretty Christmassy because they're done mostly by Santa. Even though he's a werewolf, he's still in his Santa suit.
Yep.
So
you have a werewolf Santa running around. Yeah.
And as far as the feeling of Christmas, definitely got the feeling of Christmas because these awkward family moments and things bring back a lot of good Christmas memories for me, Jay.
I was going to say, I think movies like... Man, I'm going to shit on this movie. I'm going to shit on a different movie a lot. But it's, one, it's recent, and two, it's also made by British people. I Know What You Did Last Christmas. I Know What You Did Last Christmas. Like, that, they could have learned a lot from this Christmas stuff that this movie did.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure all of the snow is either CGI or, like, soap. Like they're spraying soap bubbles or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But is way better than, I think, the no snow at all. And we're just supposed to believe that the girl froze to death in fucking I Know What You Did Last Christmas.
Yes.
There are Christmas lights or Christmas music, Christmas decorations in just about every single scene of this movie. Like, you can't forget that this movie is taking place at Christmas.
You got the family drama of Christmas. You've got the whole coming home for Christmas thing that's a popular trope in Christmas movies. I mean, they did a good job making it feel Christmassy. I'll give them that.
Yeah, it's just like you know, is it top tier? You know, I don't even think it's like White Doomsday level.
No.
But like, this is still way better than so many other movies we've watched where they're like, it's Christmas. Like, you can't fucking tell.
They tried, you know, unlike your American Screams or your Krampus the Christmas Devils or your Christmas Craft Fair Massacres or your Chris Dams Twisters, you know, they tried.
They tried.
And with a lot less money than any of those, I would guess. Sadly, in some cases.
Christmas wrapping, sets, costumes, etc.
Not really a whole lot to say about that in this. I mean, the Santa suit and the werewolf stuff looks cheap, but I mean, what did you expect, really?
I enjoyed when Santa was a werewolf. There was like hair poking through like the sides of the Santa costume.
They did a good job of making do with what they had. Santa doesn't look like, I mean, he doesn't look like a good werewolf, nowhere near good, but he doesn't look like as bad as it could have been where they just stuck like a werewolf mask on the guy.
And I think looked better than the Beast of Walton Street. Like, I think this was certainly a better werewolf than that one.
Yeah, I would have to say, yeah, the Beast of Walton Street was not great.
And while, you know, this movie, I think, is going for more comedic
than
Beast of Walton Street was, like...
Well, Beast of Walton Street was quite unintentionally comedic.
But I thought the Santa, I thought the guy who played Santa was actually pretty solid.
Actually, Jay, that's Father Christmas.
True, it was Father Christmas. They are interchangeable. Like, they're interchangeable. You could say the same thing, but, like, in the movie, they even use them interchangeably.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I enjoyed Lucy's shirt that just said fuck off.
Yes. Handmade, obviously. Looked good. Honestly, I thought all the main cast looked pretty good. I mean, they looked realistic to what you would see. Because, I mean, that's an important balance to strike in a found footage movie, is trying to make people look realistic on camera like they would be just hanging out. Which some movies do not do well. I'm looking at you, The Visit.
I was going to say Cloverfield.
Oh, yeah. Like, Cloverfield is guilty of that, too, for sure.
All these people look like movie stars. Yeah, they're just hanging out.
Yeah,
like,
we're just hanging out on the streets.
I enjoyed the haunted house, which like you said, like I'd be running a haunted house on Christmas Eve, but I thought that was such a unique, interesting, direction to go with it. It was one of those where, like, I'm sitting there and I'm like, we've just been in the woods this whole time. And then for like briefly in the town, and I'm like, what are they going to do next? You know, are we going straight to the church? Oh, no, let's go to a haunted house. And I just went, sure, why not? Let's go to a haunted house.
You got to hand it to him for that, too, is this could have very easily been a chamber film or a one location wandering around the woods like a Blair Witch style movie. But they didn't do that. They actually did go to a few different locations. We had the mom's house. We had the shots in the car. We had the stuff in the woods. We had the stuff at the church. And then we had the stuff in the haunted house. So you know what? They tried.
Yep. Want to do quotes?
Sure.
Christmas Carol, favorite quotes.
Here, get yourself some of the good meth, not the cheap shit.
Here you go, Stan. Go get yourself real meth, not the cheap shit.
Do it. I really don't want to. I'll do it or I'll release the sex tape. Which one? The one of me dressing up like... No. I'll do it.
Doggers. I've arrested doggers here for years.
Sure you have. But did you arrest them before or after they were done dogging?
Lucy, at one point, at least my name isn't Dustin.
Yeah.
Which I just thought was a great line.
Kind of name for lead singer of a band is Dustin.
With Dustin Timberlake, he'd be working at the KFC.
Mm-hmm. That reminds me of another one of my favorite quotes in this. I was actually kicked out of the band 4 months ago for being too square. I know. I follow their Instagram. I have an interview for KFC next week.
And I think like Rupert, I don't remember what Rupert says, but he's like, good. That'll be great. Good luck with that.
Yeah.
Rupert's still trying to be Dustin's friend.
Yes, indeed.
Lucy, Santa turned into a werewolf and I need your help to save Christmas. I'll get my jacket.
Yes. Well, since this might be the end, could we have sex? No. Do you have any friends? No.
What about any guys? No. When Lucy's introducing Dustin to her mom, this is Dustin. He's good enough in bed for us to be casually seeing each other.
Yes. You slept with my best friend. We weren't exclusive. You said we were friends.
And then I think my last one, when Charlie arrives at Carol's house, how's the yoga thing going? Carol goes, it's fine. How's the drinking thing going? And then Charlie goes, touche.
Yes. My favorite Charlie quote, you could have just killed the alpha and they all would have changed back. That's good to know. And this 1,000-yard stare.
Yep.
Like, I killed all
those. I murdered all those people.
For no reason. Some good quotes. That was one of the things that people criticized the most in this movie was the story. And I was like, I don't know. I thought the story was all right. Serviceable.
I think there's a lot of things you could complain about for this movie. And there's also a lot of things where it's like, actually, that's pretty good. Like, in fact, let's do our complaining right now. Broken Bull, Brilliant Bull. One thing you want to fix, one thing you want to praise.
Broken Bull, as I often do, and I'm going to go on a bit of a rant here. If you're going to make a werewolf movie, we need to have a lot of fucking werewolf in this werewolf movie. Especially if you're going to have the balls to change your title from Frostbite to Werewolf Santa. There better be a lot of Werewolf Santa in that movie. And there's not. There never is. Every single one of these werewolf movies, there's never enough werewolf. Hell, the Beast of Walton Street barely has any fucking werewolf at all. I mean, the closest thing we got was the Wolf of Snow Hollow, and that werewolf isn't even fucking real.
It's not even a werewolf.
God. It's killing me, Jay. It's killing me. And I may take steps to rectify this situation myself. Picture me as an even fatter, even purpler Thanos. Fine. I'll do it myself.
Broken Bulb, my Broken Bulb is, and this is going to be extremely niche.
Jay Logsdon Core. Here we go.
The Blu-ray does not have subtitles.
Oh, boy.
How can I hear without my subtitles?
Grandpa's ears are going, ladies and gentlemen. He can't hear without his subtitles.
I booted up the DVD because I was like, oh, I had already watched it before. I'll tell the story about watching it before earlier. But I was like, oh, like, I'll just power, you know, I'll watch it on 1.5 speed, take my notes, you know. And I went to turn subtitles on at 1.5 speed and I went, there's no subtitles here. So I started watching and I went, I can't hear a word these kids are saying. So I turned around and watched it again on Tubi at normal speed with commercials.
That almost killed him, by the way, folks. Watching a movie at normal speed for note taking.
I was furious. Next time you put out one of these movies, producers of this movie, or distributors or whatever, next time you put one out, put fucking subtitles in it. End of rant.
End of rant.
Brilliant Bulb, thing you want to praise.
You know, I kind of went back and forth on what I wanted to praise specifically with this. And I know a lot of people seem to disagree with me, but I think the acting is what I want to praise in this movie. Because these people, despite the fact that they had probably less than a tenth of the budget of some of these other horrible movies we've watched, I mean, honestly, I would be shocked if you said this had a, what do they use over there? Pounds, Jay. Yep. If this had a 5,000-pound budget, I would be surprised, honestly. They did, I think, the enthusiasm that they have for the concept and for making movies comes through in their performances, even though I'll say that there are a few that are pretty rough. But especially the mom. I don't know. Has she been in anything else?
I think she's been in some other stuff.
But I don't know. Her performance really didn't land that well for me. But The core performances, I think, were well done and enthusiastically done, which I think is important because we've seen what happens. Krampus the Christmas Devil. American Scream. What happens when people are just kind of going through the motions of making a movie and don't really care about it at all? It definitely comes through on screen. And so I wanted, especially because so many people have been so negative on the performances in this movie, I want to say, I think you guys did a pretty good job.
I completely agree. I think the cast was all really, really solid. That was kind of my biggest thing. Cause I was like, yeah, the gore was like pretty decent when you got it, but it was also one of those where the camera cuts away and then it comes back and Santa's guts are all spilled out.
We know by now it's all budget.
Yep. No, yeah. These are things that you are hiding behind with your budget or your budgetary constraints. But no, I thought all the actors were fucking great. I thought some of them had some really excellent, like, comedic chops. Like we were saying, I think most of them have all pretty decently got work, you know, not all huge names like the dad, but, they all did a pretty good job.
Oh, like I said, a lot of really harsh things to say about the performances when I was reading other reviews of this. I'm like, I did not see that at all. You could be harsh about a lot of things in this movie, but honestly, the people making it obviously really cared about making it.
It felt like an Arbor Day in that way, as opposed to a... And once again, I Know What You Did Last Christmas. Yes.
I mean, that's the most current one that we watched that had those terrible performances in it.
But yeah, Christmas Craft Fair Massacre, another one where it's just, you know, I'm reading my script that it just so happens to be.
None of us are in the same room. We're all reading our scripts and we may or may not be even related to what's going on right now. And here I am again in my office reading my script. And here we are on a Zoom meeting reading our script.
Let's get into our final rating. Every episode of Horror for the Holidays, when it's a Christmas movie, we rank our movie on one of three categories. Is it ho 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 hilarious? Is it seasonally scary? Or is it you'll be sorry? Jeff,
this was a tough one, ladies and gentlemen, but I think reviewing it, I was originally going to go you'll be sorry, but having discussed it with Jay in our usual podcast format, because we used to watch these things together and then we would basically know each other's opinions, but now we don't do it till we actually record. But no, I think talking about it with you and really going over it again, I think it's going to be a ho 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 hilarious for me. I think this is definitely not for everybody, I would say, but us veterans of the basement of Christmas and holiday horror in general, there's some stuff you could like about this movie. And I think it'd be worth watching at least once, especially since you can watch it so many places for free. I mean, you don't even have to buy it.
Right. Now, that's initially, I think you did have to buy it. And, yes. And do I think we would feel differently if...
If this was a movie that you had to buy to see, I would say probably not.
Probably not worth it.
But yes, you could literally watch it for free. The passion of the people who made it bleeds through into it. It actually has some decent jokes, you know, come through. And honestly, like I said, if they had had more budget, I think this movie would have been a lot better. But, you know, you have to play the hand you're dealt. But at the end of the day, I would say would recommend at least to watch once.
Monday at 6:33 p.m., I messaged Jeff. I watched Werewolf Santa through last night after taking an edible, and I'm pretty sure it is art.
Yes.
And Jeff, you responded, I'm watching it tonight. May the prophecy of a good Christmas werewolf movie with an actual werewolf finally come true. And I responded to you, Jeff, with, well, I didn't say it was good.
Yes. And that ominous feeling gripped me, ladies and gentlemen. And I was like, oh, God damn it.
But this movie, I think this movie in some weird way is art. I don't know how to describe it otherwise, but it's the guy holding the butterfly meme, but it's me with Werewolf Santa. And I'm like, is this art?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, it is. In all seriousness, this is pretty close to a You'll Be Sorry.
I'm gonna out Jay Logsdon right now. I'll tell you the reason he likes this movie, ladies and gentlemen. It's the dogging.
It's the dogging.
He and his wife are actually swingers, and they love to be out there dogging.
But I enjoyed. I think more than anything, I just enjoyed all the dumb comedy.
Yes.
Like even watching it through a second time, I still found myself laughing at jokes I had seen 3 days ago, and I went. No, this is great. This is fantastic.
Honestly, I think it's just because of our humor, because like we like all kinds of stuff that people say, oh, it's terrible. It's horrible. The humor doesn't land at all. And then we're like, I don't know. I thought it landed pretty good.
I mean, one of my favorite movies is Corky Romano. Like, what are we doing here if I'm not going to like sit here and laugh at just some of the dumbest like lowbrow humor in this movie? But it for me it worked, and for that it has to have a ho-ho-ho hilarious. I think if the actors were worse, this would easily be a You'll Be Sorry right next to Once I Know What You Did Last Christmas.
This was a borderline movie for sure. Yes, if there hadn't been that enthusiasm from the performers, I think it would have definitely slid into that You'll Be Sorry category.
And while we're not 100% sure if this is art, if in fact Vampire Santa and Zombie Santa are shot for shot remakes of this, but instead of werewolves, it's vampires and zombies, it will then be art. Yes. That will be art.
And you know what? I'm putting it out there right now. You know how to contact us if you've listened to this episode, people who made this movie. Contact me, and whatever your budget was for Werewolf Santa, I will double it so you can remake Werewolf Santa, this time with more werewolf.
Oi, he's going to give us 10 quid instead of 5?
Exactly. Exactly, mate. Exactly.
But Jeff, did you stop to think that we're getting clothes for Christmas?
No.
Maybe we're wrong?
No, Jay, I never stopped to do that because I've learned over the years that the less you listen to other people, the better your life is, especially when it comes to what you like in media and entertainment.
I got 2 reviews. I probably could have found more, but the 2 I found were pretty long, so I was like, I have 2, but if you want to, I don't know if you have more or if you want to go first.
I have 3, I think, that I want to read.
Okay.
I pulled 5, but I don't think we need all of them. First one, because we disagree with it, so here we go. 0 stars if I could. 1 star. This movie answers the question nobody asked. What would happen if a community theater production of The Wolfman was filmed during a Christmas pub crawl? The performances are awkward, the story is barely present, the jokes fall flat, and the creature costume looks like Santa lost a fight with a taxidermist. I kept waiting for the movie to become so bad that it became entertaining. It never crossed that magical line. Cole would be too generous. Give this film nothing.
Disagree. I think this movie very quickly. I had tried to watch this a while earlier, before we had gotten to it. I was like, oh, Joe Bob's in this. I want to check it out. And I checked out immediately. And I came back to it. And I'm like, no, actually, this is very funny. Like, I completely disagree with that. Like, I was waiting. It's so bad that I was waiting for it to get good. No, it got there pretty quick.
Yeah.
2 out of 10. Xmas turkey that lacks the festive fun.
Oh, boy.
Lucy and Dustin are paranormal investigators with a YouTube channel called Monster Hunters.
They're not paranormal investigators. They're fucking Monster Hunters. That's literally the name of the channel.
They are in their hometown of Sussex Coast, except it's her hometown.
It's Hastings.
It's Xmas Eve coupled with a full moon. Whilst out in the woods, they spot Santa, yes, the real one, taking a leak when he is attacked by a night creature.
A werewolf.
This turns him into a werewolf. Santa's turned into a werewolf. Might need your help to save Christmas, Lucy tells somebody. I don't usually watch Christmas movies out of season, but last night was a full moon, and looking for a werewolf movie that I had not seen before, I found this British comedy on Prime. Handheld movies shot in the style of found footage have been done to death, but at least in this instance, the fact that the events were shot for YouTube gives it some credibility. However, be warned that there are moments of excessive shaky cam. I don't think they were too bad.
No, if you want fucking excessive shaky cam, check out the later Paranormal Activity movies.
Joining the twosome are Lucy's mom, played by Scream Queen Emily Booth.
Me, mom.
Lucy's father, a token American, Mark Arnold, and their very annoying Irish pal, Rupert. Booth and Arnold are both wasted appearing in this. There is some fake-looking snow, but it only falls in certain spots. We don't see much of Werewolf Santa close up, which is probably just as well because it looks like a Halloween mask that can be purchased from the shops. It absolutely does look like a Halloween mask. I think that's kind of what's charming about it. Worst-looking werewolf I've ever seen.
No.
Clearly someone hasn't seen Beast of Walton Street. Or, what, Wolfman from last year.
Oh my fucking God. Jay, you just triggered me again. Fuck that movie. I hate that movie. No, I'm not going to issue any threats on air. Never mind.
We hear flies buzzing around fresh corpses despite it being midwinter. I also thought that was funny. Film may only run 71 minutes, but there is stretched out periods of boring dialogue that are meant to be funny but aren't. Disagree. I thought it was all pretty funny. There are three things that I did like, however. I did enjoy the characters of Lucy and thought that Catherine Rodden put in a good performance. One scene takes place at an amusement park and inside a ghost train, which was cool, and although I have seen her in far better roles, Emily Booth is always nice to see. As both Xmas horror movies and werewolf movies go, this really is the pits. Less ho 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 and more no no no.
Don't worry, I'm sure Variety will pick you right up.
Seven people found that helpful. Ooh, and he watched it in February of 2024. I had technically could have kind of still a little bit of been in the Christmas. I would understand wanting to watch this in February for a full moon. There might still be snow on the ground.
Could be. One star. Movie real bad?
Question mark or just?
Nope, okay. Just movie real bad.
Movie real bad.
Werewolf attacks several characters. None suffer as much as the viewer.
Oh, zing!
Scenes begin with purpose, without purpose end. Continue with characters behave as if never encountered human before. The camera work, audio inconsistent. And the comedy has all the times they recovered from their stroke. And the comedy has all the timing of a Christmas tree falling down a staircase. Because Christmas trees famously walk up and down stairs.
All the time.
I have seen school nativity with more convincing beard. I think he's talking about the werewolf costume.
Maybe the Santa.
But yeah, there you go.
Why film end way it does?
Why movie way it is.
Why Jay? Movie way it is.
Well, I think we found him again.
1 out of 10. So bad my eyes ended up with mange.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Enough of the dog jokes.
Where to start? The poster looks good. Emily Booth looks fantastic, as always. And that's where it ends. I had high expectations for this when I saw this advertised in a Facebook group and really looked forward to seeing it as I thought it would be a great watch. After sitting through 70 minutes of it, I was wrong. So, so wrong. I'm thinking both Emily and Mark Arnold have fallen on hard times and are doing any roles that to let them pay their bills, as this wasn't a movie. This was more like a high school drama project that was created by a student who was either in a rush or had procrastinated for most of the year and needed to put something out to be marked. Dialogue between characters was basic. The humor/jokes weren't funny and hardly landed. Disagree once again.
Come on.
In fact, the funniest part was in the trailer for the movie, the "I'll get my coat" line. For being a horror movie, there was very in the way of horror or jump scares.
What?
I assume little is missing. The only horrific thing about the movie was the look of the werewolf/Santa. I'm sure we've seen scarier Halloween masks from the local cheap shop. As for the actor who played Santa/the wolf, it's actually two different actors. You could tell they were putting everything into the role. However, they seem to be bereft of any acting ability or screen presence. I would maybe consider a new career in woodworking, as they are that wooden. I thought at times they
no,
had...
Wait a minute. If you're saying they're like wooden dummies with no personalities, then someone would have to make them. They wouldn't be woodworkers. You're mixing your metaphors.
I thought at times they had just hung the wolf suit up on a coat hanger. I have a feeling a lot of the positive reviews will be from the cast and crew, but do yourself a favor and give this a miss.
Miss me with that shit, bro. Miss me with that review. I hate you.
Yeah. Anto.
Yeah. Fuck you.
59559.
That's right. Shout him out. Fuck you. Yeah, I hate
you. We're going to fucking track you down.
I'll find your ass. I've done it before.
You know what we did to dude, Dad? Was?
You know what they call me when I'm on the road, Jay? Rusty Nail.
You know what Jeff does when he's Rusty Nail?
I take off your bra.
Watch out, Anto. Your bra's coming off.
Oh, it's coming off.
All right, anyway, that's my last one.
All right, you ready for this?
Ready as
zero all stars if I could. Oh, no one's ever done that before, Jay. I'm so original.
Who's stopping these people from using zero stars?
Santa Claus, C-L-A-W-S, deserved better. That's a different movie.
Yeah, that's a different movie. No, it didn't.
The title promises a rampaging werewolf Santa. Unfortunately, the actual movie seems embarrassed to deliver that simple pleasure. Why is it italicized? I don't know.
Yeah, why are you making it weird?
Instead, we get endless filler, painfully forced humor, cheap-looking violence, and characters who appear to be inventing their dialogue while speaking it. Even the short runtime feels like an advent calendar with 400 doors. Oh, yeah. Thanks, Shakespeare. The poster is more entertaining than the film.
I mean...
good poster.
Yeah, but. It's a good solid poster. And it's not a fucking Secret Santa situation where like you're looking at the poster. You're like, where is this movie?
This review was last month. And so they closed it out with this, Jay. I would have asked for a refund, but they know better than to charge for this Drex. Don't worry, I'm sure Entertainment Weekly will be calling you any day now to get you on their staff with this review.
I went to go check out a 10 out of 10 review just to see what it said. And while I do disagree with the line of... some fun scares. I don't think there were any fun scares. Otherwise, it's a lot of fun, slightly silly midnight fun.
Yeah.
Agreed. I think that perfectly encapsulates this whole movie. Also, and a dogging scene where people's privates are very much up for grabs by the Santa werewolf is another thing that they wrote. That's a great line.
I like it. See, now that's a good review.
All right. Well, Jeff, let's take Werewolf Santa and put him on the naughty list.
Oh boy.
I was thinking probably pretty low.
I mean, honestly, it's hard to say because we never see the full extent of Werewolf Santa's powers because he never goes up against anything that threatens him.
Like, we know that... we know he killed people.
I mean, he definitely kills people fairly easily. He doesn't seem to really have any trouble with that. We don't know... See, that's the thing is, without more lore, we don't know because it's like... Is he like an underworld style werewolf where he's like fucking immortal and regenerates from any wound and can only be killed in specific ways? Or is he like the universal wolf man who could be gunned down, you know, fairly easily? We just don't know.
The only lore we have is that silver bullets
kill
and has to be killed by someone who loves them.
Yes. Which, I mean, unfortunately for Santa, a lot of people love Santa.
Yeah, everyone loves Santa.
Now, see, if you're a real piece of shit, that weakness really wouldn't factor in too much. But yeah, I mean, honestly, from what we see in this movie, he'd have to be pretty low because he doesn't demonstrate any kind of like superpowers in this movie. Really.
Like, I think he's probably like above Billy.
Yeah.
In Silent Night, Deadly Night.
I mean, basically above your straight up human killers, I would say, but probably like at the bottom of the barrel for supernatural.
Yeah, I think that's probably a good place to put him, somewhere around there. I don't know who we have who's above Billy. But,
I mean, probably like when you're starting to get into your supernatural slashers, yeah. Like Michael.
But yeah, somewhere around there. But yeah, like I wish we knew more. I wish there was more lore to go.
Yeah.
Like, I think Klaus Ferratu probably beats
Klaus Ferratu beat Werewolf Santa. I mean, Michael, I think, would beat Werewolf Santa, even though he's not technically on the Christmas list. but somebody around his power level.
Yeah.
Honestly, you know what? I think Simon Phillips could probably beat Werewolf Santa.
I also wonder if the robot from Christmas Bloody Christmas might be able to beat Werewolf
Santa. I bet Christmas Terminator could probably also beat him.
Well, Jeff, it's time for this.
Garbage Day!
Well, Jeff, it is our, every year at our Christmas in July episode, at our anniversary episode or whatever, we like to kind of look back at the year that was, but it is the summer of soda, so yes. Don't think I forgot about that.
Oh, Jay, I never dreamed that you forgot about the summer of soda.
And what's more summery than Summer Edition Red Bull?
Ooh.
Sudachi Lime.
Yes, of course.
I don't know what that is, but...
We're going to find out, Jay. We're going to find out.
Red Bull Summer Edition, the taste of sudachi and lime.
Yep.
Okay.
Yes, Jay. What, you don't know the taste of sudachi?
Nope. I thought a sudachi lime was a type of lime. I did not know that it's two different flavors.
That's pretty fun.
It smells pretty limey.
That's fine. Smells pretty limey for this British movie.
Oi!
Bloody limeys.
It's me, Simon Phillips.
Mm-hmm. Kind of tastes like Sprite or Squirt.
Tastes like Squirt to you, huh, Jay? Been out there dogging again, have you?
All right, did dogging.
No, like, not bad.
No, I like it. It's not bad.
All right, certainly we've had worse Red Bulls. All right.
We've had worse dogging, if you know what I mean.
Looking back at the year, favorite movie that we watched.
That's hard because we watched some of my, you know, we watched Leprechaun this year. We watched Arbor Day this year.
Arbor Day was so good.
We watched Krampus this year. I mean. We watched, what else did we watch this year? We watched, we officially watched Deadly Games this year.
Arbor Day was really good. We did Critters.
Yeah, we did.
We did discover our boys, the B-Boys.
Yes,
we did. For Killer Party.
Yes, Killer Party. Yes, we got so many.
I'm looking back. Oh, and we also had Gnome Sick this year.
Oh, yeah, that's true. We did.
There was also some real crap, too.
Oh, man. This has been definitely a year of peaks and valleys, Jay. Peaks and valleys.
I mean, certainly, shout out to Hollow Gate.
Ooh.
For one of my favorite movies of the year.
Yes, yes. Gotta have that one.
We also did Deadly Games this past year.
That's what I'm saying. This is a stacked year.
Good tidings.
Good and bad.
We also had Christmas Craft Fair Massacre this year. And Frogman. And P2, which was... All right.
You know what? I'm just going to go with the episode I had the most fun doing. And I'm going to say that was Critters with Matt Dupay.
I think the movie I have recommended the most to people since we have watched it is Arbor Day. And so I'm going to go with Arbor Day. It was my favorite movie of the year. There are lots of good ones, though. Although, maybe I would move Arbor Day somewhere else. Maybe I would say Arbor Day was my most surprising movie of the year. Critters was really good. Leprechaun.
Yes.
Doth my cap to you, Jeffrey.
Yes, of course. For
Leprechaun. Least favorite movie of the year.
Honestly, for me, probably The Apology.
Yeah, you weren't a fan of that.
If we're talking about worst quality movie, Christmas Craft Fair Massacre. No doubt.
Number one with a bullet.
Yeah.
I was gonna say it's probably Christmas Craft Fair Massacre or I Know What You Did Last Christmas, too.
Man, Frogman was a part of this year, too. Oh, man. So many good ones.
Yeah, I don't. Ooh.
But yeah, no, I think I'm going to put the one that pissed me off the most, I think, was the apology. So I'm going to go with that one.
I think, man, it's hard to look past how fucking bad Christmas Craft Fair Massacre
it was,
and I Know What You Did Last Christmas both
were. I mean, those were both bad, but watching you get mad about them and discussing them on the podcast was more fun than the apology.
That's fair. But yeah, I might put one of those down there. I enjoyed this year. I will say I enjoyed a lot of the non-Christmas, which this year I think we did more than any other year so far. We've done way more non-Christmas movies.
We've been trying to hit all the holidays.
Certainly things I was mad about how bad ATM was on a second watch.
Yes.
I was mad about how bad Christie was on a second watch. Those were both disappointing moments.
Yeah.
But I think overall, man, you know what? While I hated Christmas Craft Fair Massacre, I Know What You Did Last Christmas still makes absolutely no fucking sense. What? Why the fuck did she have a dream about the killer but had never seen the killer before?
That, like I said, I think the apology pissed me off the most in discussing it, but I could definitely say I Know What You Did Last Christmas is also way up there for ones I enjoyed the least.
Also, Joyride 2. Fuck that fucking movie.
Oh my god, yes. Yeah, if we're dipping into the Fat Boy Summer, then yeah.
But yeah, biggest surprise. Movie you were most surprised by.
Well, Leprechaun didn't surprise me because I already knew it was cool. biggest surprise.
So I know, that's the thing. I thought Gnome 6, Seven Slaves Till Mithras. Like, seeing the trailer, I went, oh, instantly, like, this is going to be my favorite. I was not expecting to enjoy it even more than I already did. I was like, oh, this will be silly fun. I was not expecting to literally just be sitting there like, this is the best movie I've seen.
Honestly, for me, I'm gonna say Killer Party was my biggest surprise.
I think Killer Party was a big surprise.
Yes, I was anticipating it being terrible,
especially the multiple twist openings.
Yes, it was like it was a masterpiece, I think.
Also, shout out Pumpkinhead Ashes to Ashes.
Yes, surprisingly good.
After how bad Pumpkinhead 2 was, I was not expecting Pumpkinhead 3 to be actually a fun time, and I was pleasantly surprised by Pumpkinhead 3 Ashes to Ashes.
Went wild in the second one. You know, Jay, it's almost like if you make a Pumpkinhead movie to be a Pumpkinhead movie from the start and not try to adapt some other script into a Pumpkinhead thing, it works out better.
I've seen so much like pro Pumpkinhead 2 stuff. I don't know where it's coming from. I see it constantly. And I'm like, I feel like I'm taking crazy pills. Like,
no,
Pumpkinhead 2 fucking sucks.
It's fucking terrible. It's not even a real Pumpkinhead movie.
Also, people are now like watching it again because apparently the Necronomicon is in it.
Yeah, and that witch's shack or whatever.
The Not Haggis, and it's like, okay, cool. Like another. What we need more people to watch this shitty fucking movie because it's Evil Dead adjacent.
Oh boy,
fucking
boo!
Exactly, boo,
boo.
But yeah, that was my, no, I really enjoyed, Pumpkinhead Ashes to Ashes. Is there a movie, you went in expecting to enjoy and then didn't?
Oh boy. Yes, there definitely was.
I was gonna say, not like didn't enjoy overall. I still thought it was a really fun movie. I was expecting to like, What Happens Next Will Scare You. I was expecting to like that more based off of what else we had seen from Chris LaMartina. And I was like a little, it was all right. Like, what didn't feel up to, and granted it wasn't really a WNUF, but like, I was just like, after watching all the WNUF movies, I was like, oh man, it's another WNUF. And I was like, oh, this is maybe not as good. And it's just a real shame.
Honestly, ATM, I think I was expecting to like more than I did going into it, especially because of who it had in it.
That and Christie, those were both ones where I was kind of the same thing. Like I liked them the first time I saw them, and then watching them again and being more disappointed. I think we both at least enjoyed Christie a little bit. ATM, I think we were both pretty sour on.
By the time we got done, I mean, I was sour on it going in, but by the time we got done breaking it down, I was like, this fucking movie sucks.
The other one, The Sacrifice Game. Watching like the opening 5 minutes, I went, oh, this is gonna fucking rule, and then it never matches that
never
again.
Never delivers that energy again.
And I was like, but man, that opening scene with the cult murdering the family on that Christmas day or that Christmas like night, I was like, oh man, this is gonna be awesome. And then the rest of the movie happened.
Yeah.
And with, you know, no twists, because the demon is obviously the child that's been living there for years.
Yes, honestly, that one, very disappointing to me. And then more recently, Beast of Walton Street, I was disappointed.
Yeah, I was disappointed in that one as well. But yeah, I while I wasn't disappointed, another movie that didn't live up to like the initial opening. I mean, Halloween 4 has maybe one of the greatest openings. Mm-hmm. And then we're sitting there being like, but we could have done an anthology, or we could have done like Michael Myers' ghost possessing people, or all these different possibilities.
So many things you could have done.
And instead we're doing the most bog standard slasher thing. And it was that was just real disappointing. I remember.
Back to boilerplate bullshit, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, we'll be back to it again this year.
Indeed.
I'm excited for some of the stuff we've got planned for Spooktacular. Some of the new things, and at the end of the day, even Halloween 5, we'll have fun with it, certainly.
We always do.
Any other things looking back at the last year?
I enjoyed going to Crypticon. I thought that was fun.
I thought that was a blast.
Seeing Matt in person, that was fun. What else did we do last year? I mean, starting Fatboy Summer.
Oh yeah.
Now
we did. Yep.
Become a reoccurring thing.
Yep. Just like just like the Spooktacular. Also, I've enjoyed this year. It was kind of unprompted. I don't think either you or I realized we were doing it, where it just kept being not a Christmas movie, not a Christmas, like really getting into the holiday stuff. Yes,
the stars aligned on the holidays this year. We got a lot of non-Christmas holiday movies out.
And I think there are more that we can get to, so I'm really excited for that to happen.
Yep, here we go. We're entering year 5, ladies and gentlemen, year 5.
Ooh. but otherwise...
Give it up for day 23.
If you want to get in touch with us, send us an email, horrorfortheholidays@gmail.com. We're all the places on social media. We are at Horror for Holidays. That's horror, the number 4 holidays. We got an email. Remember, there's the convention down in Texas through Blood Over Texas that's called Horror for the Holidays. Mm-hmm. We got an email. Some company was asking for information about the Horror for the Holidays convention, and they wanted to donate something. And I was like, do I just delete it? And then finally, I just sent an email, and I was like, I think you're looking for these people. And I sent them like Blood Over Texas's information. I'm like, we're just a podcast.
Yep. But if you want to donate to us, feel free. What is it?
I think it was chairs and tables.
Oh, nah, never mind.
Yeah. Vendor stuff.
YouTube.com/horrorfortheholidays for all your audio backup needs. Hit the subscribe button, hit the bell, thumbs up the thing so more people will see it. We're on all the podcatchers, Apple, Spotify, all that crap. Leave us 5-star reviews. We only read the 5-star ones. Make it 0 stars if you could, so we know you're a real sicko who listens to the show.
Speaking of real sickos who listen to this show, a listener, Batsy Klein, we've mentioned her a couple times in the past, recently went through surgery. So, hope you're doing well. Hope you're feeling better. Sounded like it was a rough time. So, take care of yourself, and I guess enjoy us talking about Werewolf Santa, or don't. Maybe that made the surgery worse.
I was gonna say, maybe don't listen to the episode about Werewolf Santa.
Oh no, we said it at the end.
Oh, too late. Oops.
But we're proud to be part of the Christmas Podcast Network. All sorts of great shows out there.
Listeners at the Christmas Podcast Network, if you're listening to this, I take off your bra.
Advent calendar house. Our friend Jerry D over at Totally Rad Christmas, as always. Christmas Creeps, Weird Christmas, all sorts of good stuff. Go check them out. Holidays After Dark. Christmas Podcast Network is great, and we're happy that they distribute this bad podcast for us on their network.
Yes. Despite our constant legal battle with Matthew Broderick.
and Dude Dad. Yeah. We're fighting battles on multiple fronts here.
Fucking Dude Dad.
Also, Jeff, I want to point out, I was informed today that I've been proven right about the Rizzler.
Oh, really?
He said peanut butter's overrated.
What the fuck?
Yeah. And I just want to go on record that I've always been pro peanut butter. The Rizzler can go fuck himself. Yeah,
it's true. He's always been pro peanut butter and anti Rizzler. I can confirm this.
Yeah, both those things. He's just a fat kid.
He is just a fat kid.
AEW, they were like, the Rizzler's coming, and everyone popped, and I was like, oh, who's the Rizzler? He's going to be real cool. And then this fat kid walked out. I was so mad. Mm-hmm. And now he shows up at every AEW pay-per-view because one of the Costco guys is a former wrestler, and the Rizzler's out there, and the best night was the night that Shane Taylor pushed him over.
Yes. As a former fat kid, I endorse these actions.
I was like, go get him, Shane Taylor. That night, Shane Taylor became one of my favorite wrestlers.
Beating up the Rizzler.
Yeah, once again. Fuck you, Rizzler. I've always been right about peanut butter. I'm better than you.
It's true.
Anyways, rant over. We're now fighting battles on three fronts.
Oh, shit.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week with a stocking stuffer, and then 2 weeks with another Christmas horror movie.
And if any British tourists are here in Iowa and are interested in a little dogging, you know where to find me.
I was going to name some park, but we probably shouldn't do that.
Easter
Lake Park.
Yeah, sure. I was going to say, what's some of the parks around here? I don't know. One of the parks. Des Moines, Iowa parks. Figure it out.
Yeah, find the dogging park.
Send us an official message at thehorrorfortheholidays@gmail.com email address with your picture to let me know what you look like, and we'll see if we can get some dogging done.
It's bit Jeff in the ass before when people haven't sent their picture.
Yes. Oh my God. You know how? I mean, once you're all the way out there, you're committed to, and it's like, God damn it.
All right.
I guess we can do some dogging. Mate, I didn't realize she was going to be a dog.
I always assumed that's what it meant at first. Anyways, enough about dogging. We'll see you next week. Bye.